from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Let's rock. Let's keep doing what we do here. Taking calls, talking sports. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I want to talk to you. 888-808-1019. Here's a couple updates from around the league. And yeah, Marco just pulled the date from the last time that the Mets faced Dylan Cease. It was back on July 16th, and they had their way with him. Maybe the same thing happens tonight. So far, so good. I think it's more about what Luis Severino is able to do. And we'll keep an eye on the Mets game for you. Also, keeping an eye on the out-of-town scoreboard and whatnot. I told you before that the Astros were dominating the Orioles. The Orioles are reeling right now. In Camden Yards, they lose 6-0. They are shut out. They've lost two in a row. And now the Yankees are a game and a half up on Baltimore. I'm telling you, this is the time. The Yankees, yo, sweep the Rockies and we'll be all right. Because there's a chance that Houston is able to, like, let's see. You know, in that game, Corbin Burns goes out there. And he gives up 8 hits, 6 runs, 5 earned. So the almighty Corbin Burns, who the Yankees wanted, who the Baltimore Orioles were able to get, he goes up against a rookie in that kid Arrigetti, Spencer Arrigetti, 24-year-old rookie, held it down. I mean, the rich only get richer. He goes 6 innings, only giving up 3 hits, strikes out 6. And the Astros lineup, they do what they got to do. The Astros lineup puts up 2 runs in the 4th, 4 runs in the 6th, and that's all she wrote for Birdland and Mr. Splash and Camden Yards. Let's see here. Who had hits and ribbies? Doesn't really matter. Watching the Mets game and also have to report. The Atlanta Braves come back and hold off the Phillies. The Atlanta Braves defeat the Phillies 3-2. Philadelphia not helping y'all out. Philadelphia not being able to knock the Braves down. And as I try and go back, my MacBook is slow. I need to get a new MacBook. I just saw the new iPhone 16 coming out. I got to get another MacBook. I've had this MacBook for 5 years. It's cooked. But now as I go to the wild card standings in the National League, the Atlanta Braves are 2 games up on the New York Mets. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the phone. Ross is in Bergen County. Ross is back on the Fan.
What's up, Keith? How's it going, man?
It's going. Baseball is baseball in 2 weeks until football. It's going to cook up. It's going to get interesting here.
Yeah, it's incredible, man. I was actually... you know, I was keeping track of the preseason, not to get, you know, sidetracked from the baseball real quick. I'm seeing Anthony Richardson throwing picks in the, you know, his own end zone, everything. I see Kurt Benkert, I think he's a sleeper now, talking about how he's already out on Anthony Richardson. He got the Bears looking like world beaters all of a sudden. Albeit, though, you kind of got to take, obviously take preseason records with a grain of salt, but you notice a trend sometimes. Usually teams that go undefeated in the preseason struggle a lot. I remember the year, I think, Detroit had the 0-16, the infamous 0-16 year. I think they went undefeated in preseason. So, you know, obviously take it with a grain of salt, but they don't even have Williams playing right now. Just overall, man, the fact that we're, what is it, 2 weeks away now from football, it's hard to believe.
Yep.
But, you know, and real quick, one thing, I was looking at a prop. It was weird because I was in the Hard Rock Casino earlier today, and I was looking at one prop they had. It was like Super Bowl winner by state. So, you know, obviously, if you pick Florida, any of the 3 teams win in the state win the Super Bowl, counts towards a parlay. They didn't have Missouri there, I found funny. It just fell under the other category, I guess, because there's only one team in the state.
What about New Jersey?
I found that kind of as like a, Yeah, they had New York / New Jersey, so they're counting Buffalo with the Jets and Giants. You know, the old Twitter debate there. Anyway, I don't want to sidetrack too much. Listen, you know, the baseball, the fact that it was at five pitches in, already up 1-0, and you brought up Cease before, made me remember the last time they had him on the mound. That was the first inning. I think it was like 4-0. The Mets were up on Cease. And they brought up at that point, that was the first time all year that Lindor and Alonso had homered in the same game, and it took one inning. So the fact that they're back on him, I was looking at the box score, back-to-back sliders, and of course, you know, typical Mets, you know, you follow it up three pitches later, you get the double play on the line drive. But listen, man, it's Severino. I'm not expecting him, obviously, to throw back-to-back complete game shutouts. They have to see what Manaea did yesterday, kind of the two-headed, I guess you want to say, front of this rotation. I mean, listen, man, he's got to come up clutch because it feels like a week and a half ago, maybe even you know more recent than that. We were talking about it. You know, I heard somebody, you know, people were talking about he should be, you know, in the bullpen, if he should be closing, kind of like the whole Luis Gil conversation only over in Queens. So if he could follow it up with back-to-back starts against this opponent, no less. You know, Marlins are one thing. Now, you followed up with San Diego. I don't want to get too ahead of myself, though. But listen, man, they just got to go for the taking, man. Can't take your foot off the gas, especially against a team like this.
Thanks for the call, Ross. Yeah, I don't think anybody was really considering Luis Severino going into the bullpen. I don't think that was a real thing. I know it was spoken about, but I don't think that had any legs. And then Luis Severino comes out and has a complete game shutout, and he's looking to continue. This is next start after that. Little bit of trouble in the bottom of the second here. Two outs, runner on first, runner on third. And yeah, going back to that box score from July against Dylan Cease, the top of the order got after him. They scored four runs in the first. You had, like Ross said, the Francisco Lindor homer, the Pete Alonso homer, and, you know, Nimmo had three hits. J.D. Martinez had two hits. Alonso had two hits, five ribbies. Tyler McGill was on the mound for the Mets. Like, when you think about how long ago that was, Adrian Hauser came in after Tyler McGill. Jake Diekman, Drew Smith, Sean Reed Foley. Like, that was the Mets bullpen. Now you don't see any of those guys. Let's see what happens here. On runner advances to second, I think, on defensive indifference. Luis Severino needs to be Sevi Houdini right here. Yankee fans have seen that version of Luis Severino. He's got to get out of this here. 1-2 count. Back to the phone we go. My guy, Avery in Manhattan.
Hey, Keith. Thanks for doing that today.
So I run into Avery all the time now. Your uncle. Happy birthday, Unc. I had no idea I was going to see you guys as I was filming my Frank Sinatra singing video on the way out of Yankee Stadium, but it was good running into you again.
Yo, you made us famous, Keith.
Yeah, I'm sure that's got a couple views on it.
Yeah. No, great game today. Like, we're going to say it. We're going to say the same thing over and over again. Gerrit Cole being good is a great thing. I think the most important thing, though, all in all, was the fact that we were able to beat Cleveland and that the runs were driven in by someone who his name is not Juan or Aaron.
Stanton coming in big, sack flies, guys working walks, fundamentals, small balls, being more
ever
buttoned
since
up.
Okay, so we're 2-0 since LeMahieu's bad game. So hopefully that means that they'll continue
this is
to
the
not
stretch.
Run it out with
yeah,
LeMahieu.
This is the stretch. There's no, I know DJ played against the Rockies once upon a time. He was a Colorado Rocky. There's no
he was
need.
A Rocky, yeah.
There's no need no. To say, here
don't
you
bother.
Go, DJ. We're grinding it out with one of the worst hitters in baseball. Come on down.
But you know what, Keith? They're going to do it anyway.
I know, because Ben Rice isn't much better of an alternative.
Well, he can't. I mean, listen, though, I hope that they keep playing him because the more they play him, the better chance he has of finding his groove again.
Yeah, I'd rather see him, too.
I like the way he hit that ball. His last at-bat, I know he flew out deep, that sacrifice fly that drove in that run. I think it was the sixth run.
Yeah, a lot of back-to-ball, a lot
like
of guys
the
hitting the ball
it.
On the screws.
And that matters with him because he hasn't... You see that he finally is hitting the ball on the screws. That's a good thing for him. It was a very different at bat than the other ones he had these past two days. So it's good to see that.
Sack fly for him, work the walk. I'd rather see that young man at first base majority of the time than DJ. It's okay, but you know, like I said, they're trying to get a return on investment. They're paying DJ $15 million this year. They got another $30 million. They got another 2 years with DJ. It's hard to face that. It's hard to accept that. No, we're not grinding it out. Like, there's no reason. I don't want to hear they're grinding it out with DJ. There's no reason for it. He's cooked.
All right, Keith. Thanks for taking my call.
Have a good... Hi, is that your mom in the background?
Yeah, it is.
Hey, Mom. Have a good semester. Have a good fall, Avery. You're the man. I appreciate you guys. Thanks. And happy birthday to your uncle.
Thank you. Bye.
Later. 888-808-1019. Yeah, with the DJ LeMahieu stuff, look at the difference it makes. You take DJ out of the lineup and guys respond. And you just don't have a hole in the order. I'll take a walk from Ben Rice batting ninth. I'll take a sack fly from Ben Rice, a more competitive at bat. I don't care about the righty-lefty so much. Like, he's a minus defensively. He's a minus at the plate. He's one of the worst hitters in the league. I also don't care about the contract anymore. What does the contract matter? I also don't care about, like, guys love him in the clubhouse. We're trying to win here. This is a stretch. It is important. With the Houston Astros playing against the Baltimore Orioles, they might sweep them in Camden Yards. It is important for the Yankees to stack wins here and not have another three-game losing streak or a letdown or a game that they could have won. Tyrone Taylor with a double to start this third inning. Gets right past Manny Machado, and the Mets are in business. Severino got the last out, didn't give up anything. Tyrone Taylor comes up with a leadoff double, no outs. We're back to the top of the order. Francisco Lindor is there. Let's go to Louie out in Lodi. Louie, you're on the fan. What do you got for us tonight?
Hey, what's up there, Keith? I want to talk for a few minutes, if you'd let me. I think that the Yanks, they're doing awesome right now. What's his name? Judge. All rise. Here comes the judge. Here comes the judge. You know what I'm saying? They're doing great.
Aaron,
you know? It's like a dynamic duo with Soto and Judge, you know, the Batman and Robin over there.
Shaq and Kobe, yeah.
Judge being Batman and Soto the Robin, the little guy, you know. And then there's Chisholm. I hope he's back.
Maybe Batman and Superman. Maybe Batman and Superman.
That works too, Keith. You know, I'm flexible like that. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, like Chisholm, I like him a lot. Jim Jr.
Yeah, they got to get him back. He's taking batting practice. Yeah. They got to get him back ASAP.
Yeah, man, it's a must. I smell a World Series in the air. You know what I'm saying? I can see a ticker
tape. There will be one, unless there's like an earthquake or a lockout. There's definitely going to be one.
Yeah, Keith. They're on the right track there, buddy. You know what, though? They need some pitching. You know, they need pitching, you know, because pitching wins games, too, you know. It's not only the bats.
Clark Schmidt, Cody Poteet, Ian Hamilton, Scott Efros. Yeah. They got some guys coming back.
Yeah. They need somebody like the Rocket and Pettit, you know.
I don't know if they can find guys like that this late in the season. Yeah. But maybe Garrett Cole can be that. Maybe Carlos Rodon, nah. Maybe Nestor, nah. Maybe just Garrett Cole.
How about the Goose? They need someone like Goose, like the Goose Gossage guy. You remember?
Jay Cousins?
You kidding?
The Weaver?
We're family, practically. I'm a diehard Yankee. You got the goatee like me. Louie from Lodi, I got a goatee, too.
Thanks for the call, Louie. I'll let you talk. I'll let you run. Rumpelstiltskin, Jake Cousins, Luke Weaver, Tim Mayza. Yo, get Tim Mayza up out of here.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Mario, Long Beach, on the fan whenever he wants to be on the fan.
Great show as always. Hey, it's nice. You probably feel good. You get off at a decent time, right? Not in the middle of the night.
Yeah, I am dragging. Right? My boy Christian, who went to the game, I passed him a ticket. He literally just texted me. He's like, I don't know how you do it, dude. I went home and I crashed for 3 hours. I'm like, I drove home, slept for 30 minutes, drank an energy drink, and now I'm here to host for 5 hours.
Yeah, yeah, but at least it's over at 12, you know?
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, a couple of things on the Yankees. I'm feeling really good about that, you know, a lot of things that I think can happen. Now, do you know what Cortes just did that no Yankee has done in the last 30 years? Did you hear it?
He went seven innings
twice with no walks.
With no walks and a certain number of strikeouts.
Didn't give up a run.
Yeah, yeah.
And didn't give up a run. I don't think it had anything to do with the strikeouts. But no runs given up, no walks. The last person to do that was Andy Pettit. Now, you know, the thing with him is, do you know, I think it was 2022 and 2021, he had the second best ERA in the whole American League for almost a year and a half. So he's got some skill there, man. If he could pick it up, I feel good about that, you know. And then if you add in those guys that he's getting back, you know, when they get back Cody Petit, Schmidt?
Clark Schmidt, yep.
Yeah, Clark Schmidt and the third guy, Ian Hamilton, right?
Yes, I'm waiting on Scott Efros. I don't know what they're waiting on with Scott Efros. He's been pitching, and we haven't seen him in like 2 years.
Who is he? Is he one of their relief? So, he's on their relief pitching?
He got traded here from the Chicago Cubs in 2022. He's just been hurt. Yeah, he's a relief pitcher.
Oh, okay. You know, one quick thing, and I'll let you go. Did you see that homer that Stanton hit today?
I was at the game, yeah.
Oh, yeah, but I don't know if you noticed it, but...
No, I
can't
noticed
believe
it.
That he... I mean him and the way he hit it, because he actually got fooled. He took the step before the ball even reached him. He was off balance.
He's unorthodox.
I don't know how the hell he hit it that far.
Because he's strong as an ox. He's...
Yeah, he reached out. Off balance.
Yeah,
that was an incredible one.
He's strong enough, if he gets the barrel to the ball, that ball's going to end up in Monument Park.
Yeah, I like our chances this year. I'm a Yankee fan like you. So let's go Yankees. Thanks for taking my call, buddy, as always.
Thanks for the call, man. Yeah, a ridiculous swing. That's why they don't know how to describe Giancarlo Stanton. He's one of the only guys that can chop at the ball like that and is strong enough to put it out of the ballpark. Good. You know, we always make jokes, or I make jokes, and other people make jokes, I think, but not all of us, about the slider away. He's waiting on it. He's ready for it. Good on Stanton. Stanton has to have a chip on his shoulder knowing that they are intentionally walking Judge and getting to Austin Wells or getting to him, and got to make him pay. 888-808-1019. Yeah, I was at the game. It was a good time. I had to go to the game, you know. I was saying last night when I didn't go to the game and it was Juan Soto and Aaron Judge driving in all the runs and nasty Nestor night, I'm like, cool, I'd much rather not go to the game and get the result that I want than go to the game like I did Tuesday and be miserable. But I don't know. I had a feeling about today. Gerrit Cole on the mound. Getaway day for Cleveland. They had one hit, Stephen Kwan. Other than that, they were ready to get on the plane. They were ready to get up out of here. And the Yankees got them up out of here. I don't know why they kept pitching the Judge. And the Yankees worked walks. The Yankees were a lot, you know, tighter and crisp with their defense, double plays, and I think that, you know, that loss that they took in, you know, Pennsylvania Sunday Night Baseball, a grinded out game like that where Clay Holmes blows it, and then that coupled with the extra innings loss on Tuesday where they should have won that game three different times, it just gets to a point where if you think you're feeling down in the dumps, if you're feeling depressed, if you're sad as a Yankee fan about how things are going, like, how do you think those guys feel? How do you think those guys feel? They wear it more than we do. They're the ones wearing the pinstripes. They're the ones out there playing the games. So they responded. They turned it around. And that's a team. That's a first-place team. That's a team that's definitely making the postseason, the Cleveland Guardians. That's a team we could face. I feel way more comfortable facing them than the Houston Astros. But it might just be inevitable. I'm saying right now I don't want any smoke with Houston. But you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. If the time comes and it's the ALCS, Yankees versus Houston again, I'm not going to be shaking in my boots. I'm going to say, let's go. Let's go. Get it done. Get it done. 888-808-1019. So, yeah, we're talking about everything, man. We're now watching the Mets game as Dylan Cease versus Luis Severino is underway. Last time it was Dylan Cease versus Tylor McGill. It's just crazy to look at that box score from July 16th. and the bullpen that the Mets deployed versus who they have now. Here we go to the bottom of the third, still 1-0 Mets. A little bit of trouble in the top of the third, but they get out of it, the Padres, and we're waiting for them to crack through. I got to take a break here. I do got to take a break here. I'm trying to get to these calls faster. David and Manalapan, you'll be next. We'll talk Mets after the break. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan, BRB.
Oh. RP Pop Smoke. Let's get back into it. I got like 90 minutes left.
Time is flying, and the baseball season is flying, and if you don't pay attention, players come and go. Trade deadline passes. Guys get DFA'd. Guys come back from the IL. They got to make room. I think earlier I was mentioning, you know, the Dodgers as not a potential spot for Juan Soto and how they just put Mookie Betts back into the outfield. They have Kevin Kiermaier playing center field. What they found in Teoscar Hernandez as a free agent, what they were able to get out of Jason Hayward, they DFA'd Jason Hayward. They DFA'd Jason Hayward. I just found that out looking through some notes and some things. Shout out to my boy Ben bringing that to my attention. And then I knew I wasn't seeing things when I was looking at the box score, a 6-0 win in Camden Yards by the Houston Astros. I'm like, two hits, two ribbies, Gamble. Is that the same former Yankee Met Ben Gamble? It is. Ben Gamble was just helping the Mets. Now he's helping the Houston Astros. 888-808-1019. Some other notes and things that I have for my Devils fans. Did you guys see the cover of NHL 25? EA Sports hockey video game, the Hughes brothers. America's finest. Jack Hughes, Quinn Hughes, Luke Hughes, two Devils, and one of the Canucks on the cover of NHL 25. Can't wait for hockey to start. It's going to be a good year for the NHL, for the Rangers, for the Devils, for the Islanders. It's going to be a good time. Yeah, still looking at this Mets game. Seve had a couple runners on again. Works out of trouble. End of three, still 1-0 Mets. I said the first call was going to be David in Manalapan to talk about the Mets. David, you're on.
Hey, Keith, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, thanks for taking the call. Just 2 points on the Mets, and I'm going to let you answer. First of all, at what point, the Mets have been getting killed all year by their relievers and their starters, I guess, walking players. They lead the league in walks by, I'm pretty sure it's a wide margin. At what point does somebody point the finger at the pitching coach, number one? Mm. And number two, I read something the other day that David Stearns does not want to anoint Benitos as the third baseman of the future. I mean, what more does he want from this kid? The kid's, you know, 20 home runs, 50-something ribbies. He's batting 280. He's been playing a very serviceable third base. I don't think Stearns is thinking that Brett Beatty is going to be the guy. I mean, what are you thinking? Why is Stearns hesitant on this?
I think that Mark Vientos' glove leaves a lot to be desired. I think he could be better with his glove. He's made some plays, but he's also had some errors, made some mistakes. He's still young, though. I think he can get better. I know a lot of people are talking about just turning him into a DH. I think he's too young to just make a DH for you. I don't think Brett Beatty is somebody that they're looking at as the future third baseman. I think, if anything, they may go do what I said before, right? Plug in a third baseman. You know, maybe go buy an Alex Bregman after this year. Use the money to fill that spot. And as far as Jeremy Hefner's name, I feel like his name pops up once in a while in a fan, but you're right. As much as the rotation and bullpen have had their struggles, as many walks as we saw, well, they have 11 walks in that game they lost to the Oakland A's. Like, people aren't calling out Jeremy Hefner. They're calling out the pitchers.
Right. At what point, I mean, you got to start pointing the fingers up at some time.
No, it's a valid point. What's he doing? I mean, it's a first-year manager, first year of these guys being together. He definitely has to shoulder some responsibility. But all in all, I think that the Mets are ahead of schedule. They're playing better than people expected them to. And what I tip my cap to David Stearns and Mendoza for doing this whole year is not just being bystanders, not just watching and saying, oh, that's baseball, this is going to happen. No, they've made constant tweaks with the roster. They've made constant changes, and they're trying to get to the best group of guys that they can have out there.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think they've done an amazing job, and I think they, you know, going back to when they said, you know, this is going to be a throwaway year, go evaluate. I mean, they're night and day ahead of it. They really are. I'd like to see Alvarez stepping up a little bit, but I don't think anybody expected the third baseman to do what he's doing. Obviously, Iglesias has been a revelation. Lindor, since the leadoff spot, has been terrific. They have a lot going forward. Pete's still up in the air, you know, for next season. Obviously, the starting pitching is with all the free agents, but, I mean, the future's a whole lot better than it was, when the season started.
Yeah.
And I think Mendoza is terrific. I think he's doing a great job with that team.
And I think if this team does finish the job and become a postseason team, no matter what happens in the postseason, I think there's a lot of guys that will want to come back, will lean to re-signing with the Mets because they want to stay a part of this group.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, Manea, I think, will come back. I mean, they should sign him. They should sign Sevy.
I think he's got a two-year deal. I think he's definitely back. I think Severino's got the one-year deal, but he's been living in New York X amount of years as a former Yankee. He'll definitely want to come back. We'll see about guys like J.D. Martinez, Pete Alonso.
There was a player option involved with Manea. I could be wrong, though. I thought he had a player option. But I guess
maybe
that
an
I
option
could
for
be
a
wrong
third year. I'll look it up. I thought he had a two-year deal. But either way, all I'm saying is guys that are potentially out of here or that, yeah, he's got Sean Manea signed a two-year deal for $28 million.
Great.
and he's been your best guy, so it's like he's definitely back next year. Quintana is a guy that you don't want back. I did read something about Kodai Senga potentially. Oh, that ball's down. Oh, it's a ground rule double. Something about Kodai Senga potentially rejoining the Mets by the end of the year. Not that you can really bank on that. Not that you can really put any stock on that. But who knows?
Yeah, that would be helpful.
Helpful. Because, you know, Kodai Senga has been a big waste of money so far. He hasn't really been available for you.
No, not this year. I mean, last year he was obviously good. That's for sure.
And Jose Iglesias isn't going anywhere either. Thanks for the call, David. Jose Iglesias just launched a double into the gap. Ground rule double. Almost hit the warning track. Mets now have Jesse Winker on third. Jose Iglesias at second, Francisco Alvarez at the plate, looking to add on to that first inning run they scored, top of the fourth here. 888-808-1019. I mean, so much of this is about building the Mets brand and making it attractive for a Juan Soto or an Alex Bregman or, you know, whatever one of these starting pitchers you want to name in free agency that could potentially sign. With the Mets, they have to win and get to the postseason, and I think that helps shake off the, you know, New York mess. You guys see that the other night? The Baltimore Orioles tweeted out the New York mess when that error was made in the outfield, and that's why I think the Mets came back with the wire picture with the Mets hat on. You know, I want you to put the word out. We're back up. Kind of, you know, trolling the social teams, trolling back and forth. But I was even offended by that. I'm like, I thought Yankee fans were the only ones allowed to call them the New York mess, not Baltimore. Ishmael out in Brooklyn, you're on the fan. What's up, man?
Hey, buddy. What's up, Keith? Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Keith. Yeah. What I want to speak is about the Yankees a little bit, if you don't mind. Keith, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm letting you go. Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I'm a diehard Yankee fan like you. You know, I like the Mets too, but the Yankees is my number one team. But the bottom half of this lineup, if they don't pick it up, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, those hitters, you know, Torres, J.D. Martin, DJ, these guys don't pick it up, you know, then the bullpen is so-so. Hey, I would love to see another World Series. It's been since 2009. come on, we're due to have one, but I don't see it, man.
Yeah, it can't just be Soto and Judge at 2-3. Volpe had a better series bouncing back. Verdugo has been a trash can. I don't know what his problem is.
Yeah.
I think they need to sit him down. I'd rather see Oswald Peraza and Oswaldo Cabrera getting the reps over a DJ LeMahieu, and I think those guys are platooning at third base right now. Ben Rice should get the run until Rizzo comes back. And before you know it, there's going to be Jazz Chisholm in the bottom of that order. They haven't leaned in at all to having him be a leadoff hitter. He'll slot somewhere somewhere down in the bottom of the order. It'll get better.
I just hope so, man. And then the pitch, the bullpen, we ain't got the closer. And I've been texting on the tweet on the X, the Brian Cashman, you know, since spring training, you need a closer.
Sure.
They don't care. Yeah, I don't think this team.
They think they have a closer in Clay Holmes. Clay Holmes is their closer.
Nah, he ain't a closer. Mariano Rivera, no way.
There's nobody that's Mariano Rivera. Thanks for the call, Ishmael. There's no Mariano Rivera. They don't exist. Not Josh Hader. Not any of these guys. Not Edwin Diaz. Not Paul Sewald, who lost his closing spot. Sir Anthony Dominguez, who got the closing spot from Craig Kimbrell. Not Kenley Jansen. There is no Mariano Rivera. So, wild pitch scores Jesse Winker. Mets take the lead or add to their lead 2-0. Out there at Petco Park, they're having a conference on the mound right now with Dylan Cease, runner on third. Here's Jeff McNeil looking to get something going here with two outs. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Ed in Mohegan on the fan before we take our next break. What's up, Ed?
Hey, what do you say? I got a question about Soto, but before I do that, I just got to ask you. You mentioned DFA, like designated for assignment, which is DFA now. As a dopey question, but why is it players get designated for assignment or DFA'd, but managers and GMs get fired? It's the same thing. Why don't they just say a player got fired? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. It's just a term. It's just a term for
No, cut. I know it's a term, but why are they, is it just to keep from hurting the player's feelings?
No.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's the same exact thing. You're no longer. I understand you have a 10-day waiting period to get claimed by waivers.
Right. I was about to say,
essentially,
because
you're telling them your services are no longer needed. Right. But you're basically telling the player your services are no longer needed. If you get you're not designated for assignment, you'd get fired. I get fired. These guys are not even designated for assignment anymore. It's DFA'd. It's weird. Everything's an anagram nowadays.
Yeah, I think it's just a technicality. I think it's just a name for it, you know, and they need
it's
to open up
funny.
A roster spot. Ben Gamel gets DFA'd so Starling Marte can come back from the IL.
Yeah, I know. I get it. All right, my question is about Soto. To me, I think if you're Soto's agent, if you're Scott Boras, you got to look at him and say there's a reason he has the most home runs he has in his career. Because he's going to see better pitches being in the same lineup with Judge. You're not going to get that with the Mets. Because if the Mets sign Soto, they're probably not going to keep Alonso, right?
I mean, I can't say that. I think Alonso's price has gone down a lot. I think they can sign Alonso for a steal of a deal. Wow. Jeff McNeil hustles that out. Let's see. Are they going to challenge that?
But you got to figure, like, this next contract that Soto signs is going to be the last one for a while, unless he gets traded, which he won't.
No, Soto
it's going to be like a 10-year deal.
Soto won't sign another contract. That 25 going on 26, he's about to sign a 13-year deal that's going to be the rest of his career. Yeah.
Exactly. So if you're Soto's agent and you're Soto, your numbers are going to be better by at least 20% with the Yankees, you would figure.
They know
with
that.
With Judge in the lineup.
Yeah, they know that.
And I don't think the price would bother Judge at all. I mean, there's a lot of talk about Judge getting upset. I don't think
Judge
cares.
Is having the best season of his life with Juan Soto as well.
Course.
He's going to say, pay that man.
Exactly. So, I mean, to have both of those guys on a team, it could quite possibly turn out to be the best hitting tandem in baseball history, when all is said and done.
The best hitting tandem of the 2020s, and prolific. And as we talk about it being a crapshoot, well, you know how you raise your chances of coming out as the champion of that crapshoot? Having those two guys every single year for the next 7 years, 6 years, whatever it is that Judge is going to play. Soto's going to play for another 12, 13.
It behooves the Yankees to sign him, of course. That behooves anybody to sign him. But the thing is, if the Mets do wind up getting him, and I don't think they will, you still have Spencer Jones and you have the Martian. They could both crap out. They could both be great. You don't know. But I think if they do sign, if they do sign Soto, you got to consider moving one of those guys for a pitcher. Maybe even Bieber if he comes back strong from this injury, because that's going to be a weak point for them.
Yeah.
You don't want them to turn into the 80s Yankees.
No, yeah, they'll need the pitching, but I just think that there's no way that Hal Steinbrenner and Brian Cashman gave up 6-7 players and just said, yeah, he's going to be a one-year rental. I think they're already having conversations. I think they already have had conversations, because from both sides, all we kept hearing was, the door's open. You know where my agent is. You know, like Scott Boris, and he's been in the ballpark. I'm sure he's talked to Hal Steinbrenner. There's no way he signs an extension. He's definitely hitting free agency, but I just think that the Yankees have a leg up because he's in pinstripes. I am at games. Like Juan Soto, more than Judge, is turning to look at the bleachers, to look at section 103, 104, interact with the fans all around him. He's hitting his home run.
Yeah, they love him.
And he's signaling to the bleachers because he can hear us all game talking to him. He can hear my Dominican pals that sit out there speaking to him in Espanol. Like, it's just a different vibe that he's going to get there. Just by the way that the short porch and the stadium is built, Juan Soto has never felt what it feels like, you know, in Yankee Stadium anywhere else. And then when he goes up to
absolutely to
bat with Aaron Judge, I think this is something that they want to keep going for a long time. And I think there would have to be a huge difference in numbers for Juan Soto to walk away. And I don't expect there to be I don't expect a $700 million Ohtani contract to come from Steve Cohen. He's a right fielder in Major League Baseball. Aaron Judge got $40 million a year for 9 years. Let's say Soto gets $45 million a year for 13 years.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, look, it's such a rarity to have two players that good on the same team. Just have it work out that way. You know what I mean? It'd be like Bryce Harper and Mike Trout being on the same team in their best years.
Yeah.
So to actually have those two players, healthy. It's just such a rarity. Yeah. And right. And that's another thing. You got to hope they stay healthy. I mean, thank goodness Judges look good health wise, you know. But I'm just curious if this traps them. That's the only thing that bothers me. Because then between Cole and those two guys, and even Rodon, you have probably half of your payroll wrapped up in four guys.
No, they have so much money coming off the books.
Well, Stanton, when does Stanton come off?
Not till after 2028 or 2027, I think 2028.
I'm telling you, look at their payroll. They got a lot of young guys. Those four or five guys are going to take up probably more than half.
Anthony Rizzo is gone. Gleyber Torres is gone. I hope they cut bait with DJ LeMahieu, but they probably won't. Clay Holmes, I think, is gone. Just right there, Alex Verdugo is gone. Just right there, you have the money to pay Juan Soto and give yourself some room to make some other moves.
You know something? I think LeMahieu's good. I like LeMahieu. I know he's been a disappointment. I don't think he was completely back from his injury, you know, when he came back to the team. I think he's going to do something in the playoffs. I think he's going to win a game for them. It's good. You know what I mean? Like he did a couple of weeks ago with that.
He won in the Phillies game, and then he walked off the Toronto game, maybe? I forget. And he had a good week, and that brought him a month.
He had a big game on a Monday. Yeah, he had a big game on a Monday where I think he drove in every run in the game.
Against the Phillies. Thanks for the call, Ed. I jokingly said this. I was talking to Bob Papa on Twitter because Bob Papa was calling for DJ to be out, for DJ to be done. Oh, no. Mark Vientos. I just was speaking about Mark Vientos and his glove. He cuts in front of Lindor, and that ball skips off his glove. What are you doing? Let Lindor make that play. and before that, Jeff McNeil hustles and the third run comes across. So far, so good out in Petco Park. The Mets lead 3-0, but kind of a weird omen. I just was talking about Mark Vientos. What did the caller call Vientos? I think he called him Vinitos. I just was talking about how they're not sold on Mark Vientos' glove, and that ball looked like a ball that if he doesn't charge at it like that and cut in front of Lindor, that's the last out of the inning, and Lindor probably makes that play. Here we go now. Severino has to attack this batter. That ball is popped up into left field. Vientos get out of the way, and Lindor makes the play. The Mets go to the fifth inning, leading 3-0. Now I'm losing my train of thought here. Going back to the Juan Soto conversation with the Yankees payroll, you know, we need C-Mac to come back. C-Mac has missed this week. I know he's out in Disney. I know he's doing his thing. I've missed C-Mac this week. I mean, you know, you hear me talking about not being done till 12, till 2. And shout out to Al Cintron filling in. But obviously Al is more Mets and talks about, you know, the Mets payroll and the Mets players. C-Mac one night had a great show, which most of you are probably sleeping. I don't know what night it was, where C-Mac was breaking down, like people talking about, okay, what's Soto gonna make? And he said, okay, if Soto makes $50 million a year, which I don't think he's going to get $50 million a year, but who knows? Let's get crazy. Let's say he does. He's like, yo, what Anthony Rizzo makes, what Gleyber Torres makes, what Verdugo makes, that's $50 million. That's more than $50 million right there. They're off the books. You can pay for Soto right there. I just think people are expecting like Juan Soto to bankrupt the Yankees. Impossible. Like, it's not. They can afford him. But I think they're going to have a line. And I think a lot of you guys got to get rid of this line. The sustainable payroll. It's not sustainable to have a $300 million payroll. I don't know how many times I told you folks that Hal Steinbrenner said that in a room full of his peers. He was speaking to other owners. And whether it's the Sportico conference or whatever it is, when Hal Steinbrenner and Randy Levine and whoever else go talk about, you know, the Yankees, they talk a lot about how, like, teams in their division, like the Tampa Bay Rays, don't spend any money and how there should be a salary floor, a minimum spend. I don't think that they were addressing the fans at all, but obviously there's media there, so that gets out to fans where fans are like, oh, well, how say he doesn't want to have over a $300 million payroll? He's gonna. And they're not saying that to say that they're not going to be in on Juan Soto. They have to be. They're not fools. They understand why the stadium has 40,000 plus while they're losing games. They understand why people are coming out to see Juan Soto, to get a Juan Soto figurine. I told my boy today, he's like, you want me to get the Juan Soto figurine for you tomorrow since you're going to Atlanta? I'm like, no, I'll wait till next year and get the Juan Soto bobblehead. Keith McPherson on the Fan, 888-808-1019. We're talking Yanks, Mets, Juan Soto contract. I'm going to pull up the Yankees payroll so I can do the activity that C-Mac did and just tell you like what Verdugo makes, right? He also leaned into the fact that Juan Soto makes $31 million this year. Is he going to make $20 million more? Maybe, but maybe not. He's a right fielder in Major League Baseball. Yes, he's young. Yes, he's a Hall of Famer or on a Hall of Fame trajectory, but like there's numbers and there's like parameters to this thing. Steve Cohen can't just come in and say, $800 million. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We'll be right back. Let's go to Ed in Mohegan on the Fan before we take our next break. What's up, Ed?
Hey, what do you say? I got a question about Soto, but before I do that, I just got to ask you. You mentioned DFA, like designated for assignment, which is DFA now. Well, and it's a dopey question, but why is it players get designated for assignment or DFA'd, but managers and GMs get fired? It's the same thing. Why don't they just say a player got fired? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. It's just a term. It's just a term for
No, cut. I know it's a term, but why are they, is it just to keep them hurting the player's feeling?
No.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's the same exact thing. You're no longer, I understand you have a 10-day waiting period to get claimed by waivers.
Right. I was about
to say,
because of the waiver
process. Essentially, you're telling them your services are no longer needed. Right, but you're basically telling the player your services are no longer needed. I mean, if you get, you're not designated for assignment, you get fired. I get fired. These guys are that's not even designated for assignment anymore. It's DFA. It's weird. Everything's an anagram nowadays.
Yeah, I think it's just a technicality. I think it's just a name for it, you know, and they need it's to open up funny. A roster spot. Ben Gamel gets DFA'd, so Starling Marte can come back from the IL.
Yeah, no, I get it. All right, my question is about Soto. To me, I think if you're Soto, if you're Soto's agent, if you're Scott Boras, you got to look at him and say there's a reason he has the most home runs he has in his career, because he's going to see better pitches being in the same lineup with Judge. You're not going to get that with the Mets. Because if the Mets sign Soto, they're probably not going to keep Alonso, right?
I mean, I can't say that. I think Alonso's price has gone down a lot. I think they can sign Alonso for a steal of a deal. Wow. Jeff McNeil hustles that out. Let's see. Are they going to challenge that?
But you got to figure, like, this next contract that Soto signs is going to be the last one for a while. Unless he gets traded, which he won't.
No, Soto
won't. It's going to be like a 10-year deal.
Soto won't sign another contract. That 25 going on 26, he's about to sign a 13-year deal that's going to be the rest of his career. Yeah.
Exactly. So if you're Soto's agent and you're Soto, your numbers are going to be better by at least 20% with the Yankees, you would figure.
They know
with
that.
Judge in the lineup.
Yeah, they know that.
And I don't think the price would bother Judge at all. I mean, there's a lot of talk about Judge getting upset. I don't think
Judge
cares.
Is having the best season of his life with Juan Soto as well. He's going to say, pay that man.
Exactly. So, I mean, to have both of those guys on a team, it could quite possibly turn out to be the best hitting tandem in baseball history when all is said and done.
The best hitting tandem of the 2020s. And, yeah, prolific. And as we talk about it being a crapshoot, well, you know how you raise your chances of coming out as the champion of that crapshoot? Having those two guys every single year for the next 7 years, 6 years, whatever it is that Judge is going to play. Soto's going to play for another 12, 13.
It behooves the Yankees to sign him, of course. It behooves anybody to sign him. But the thing is, if the Mets do wind up getting him, and I don't think they will, you still have Spencer Jones and you have the Martian. They could both crap out. They could both be great. You don't know. But I think if they do sign Soto, you got to consider moving one of those guys for a pitcher. Maybe even Bieber if he comes back strong from this injury, because that's going to be a weak point for them.
Yeah.
You don't want them to turn into the 80s Yankees.
No, yeah, they'll need the pitching, but I just think that there's no way that Hal Steinbrenner and Brian Cashman gave up 6-7 players and just said, yeah, he's going to be a one-year rental. I think they're already having conversations. I think they already have had conversations, because from both sides, all we kept hearing was, the door's open. You know where my agent is. You know, like Scott Boras, and he's been in the ballpark. I'm sure he's talked to Hal Steinbrenner. There's no way he signs an extension. He's definitely hitting free agency, but I just think that the Yankees have a leg up because he's in pinstripes. I am at games. Like, Juan Soto, more than Judge, is turning to look at the bleachers, to look at section 103, 104, interact with the fans all around him. He's hitting his home run.
Yeah, they won.
And he's signaling to the bleachers because he can hear us all game talking to him. He can hear my Dominican pals that sit out there speaking to him in Espanol. Like, it's just a different vibe that he's going to get there. Just by the way that the short porch and the stadium is built, Juan Soto has never felt what it feels like, you know, in Yankee Stadium anywhere else. And then when he goes up to
absolutely
to bat with Aaron Judge, I think this is something that they want to keep going for a long time. And I think there would have to be a huge difference in numbers for Juan Soto to walk away. And I don't expect there to be I don't expect a $700 million Ohtani contract to come from Steve Cohen. He's a right fielder in Major League Baseball. Aaron Judge got $40 million a year for 9 years. Let's say Soto gets $45 million a year for 13 years.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, look, it's such a rarity to have two players that good on the same team. Just have it work out that way. You know what I mean? It'd be like Bryce Harper and Mike Trout being on the same team in their best years.
Yeah,
so to actually have those two players, healthy. It's just such a rarity. Yeah, and right, and that's another thing. You got to hope they stay healthy. I mean, thank goodness Judges look good health-wise. you know. But I'm just curious if this traps them. That's the only thing that bothers me. Because then between Cole and those two guys, and even Rodon, you have probably half of your payroll wrapped up in four guys.
No, so if they have so much money coming off the books.
Well, Stanton, when does Stanton come off?
Not till after 2028 or 2027, I think 2028.
I'm telling you, look at their payroll. They got a lot of young guys. Those four or five guys are going to take up probably more than half.
Anthony Rizzo is gone. Gleyber Torres is gone. I hope they cut bait with DJ LeMahieu, but they probably won't. Clay Holmes, I think, is gone. Just right there, Alex Verdugo is gone. Just right there, you have the money to pay Juan Soto and give yourself some room to make some other moves.
You know something? I think LeMahieu's good. I like LeMahieu. I know he's been a disappointment. I don't think he was completely back from his injury, you know, when he came back to the team. I think he's going to do something in the playoffs. I think he's going to win a game for them. It's good. You know what I mean? Like he did a couple of weeks ago, he won
the Phillies game, and then he walked off the Toronto game. Maybe I forget. He had a good week, and that brought him a month.
He had a big game on a Monday. Yeah, he had a big game on a Monday where I think he drove in every run in the game.
Against the Phillies. Thanks for the call, Ed. I jokingly said this. I was talking to Bob Popo on Twitter because Bob Popo was calling for DJ to be out, for DJ to be done. Oh, no. Mark Vientos. I just was speaking about Mark Vientos and his glove. He cuts in front of Lindor, and that ball skips off his glove. What are you doing? Let Lindor make that play. And before that, Jeff McNeil hustles, and the third run comes across. So far, so good out in Petco Park. The Mets lead 3-0. But kind of a weird omen. I just was talking about Mark Vientos. What did the caller call Vientos? I think he called him Vinitos. I just was talking about how they're not sold on Mark Vientos' glove. And that ball looked like a ball that if he doesn't charge at it like that and cut in front of Lindor, that's the last out of the inning, and Lindor probably makes that play. Here we go now. Severino has to attack this batter. That ball is popped up into left field. Vientos get out of the way, and Lindor makes the play. The Mets go to the fifth inning, leading 3-0. Now I'm losing my train of thought here. Going back to the Juan Soto conversation with the Yankees payroll, you know, we need C-Mac to come back. C-Mac has missed this week. I know he's out in Disney. I know he's doing his thing. I've missed C-Mac this week. I mean, you know, you hear me talking about not being done till 12, till 2. And shout out to Al Cintron filling in. But obviously Al is more Mets and talks about, you know, the Mets payroll and the Mets players. C-Mac one night had a great show, which most of you are probably sleeping. I don't know what night it was, where C-Mac was breaking down, like people talking about, okay, what's Soto going to make? And he said, okay, if Soto makes $50 million a year, which I don't think he's going to get $50 million a year, but who knows? Let's get crazy. Let's say he does. He's like, yo, what Anthony Rizzo makes, what Gleyber Torres makes, what Verdugo makes, that's $50 million. That's more than $50 million right there. They're off the books. You can pay for Soto right there. I just think people are expecting like Juan Soto to bankrupt the Yankees. Impossible. Like, it's not. They can afford him. But I think they're going to have a line. And I think a lot of you guys got to get rid of this line. The sustainable payroll. It's not sustainable to have a $300 million payroll. I don't know how many times I told you folks that Hal Steinbrenner said that in a room full of his peers. So he was speaking to other owners. And whether it's the Sportico conference or whatever it is, when Hal Steinbrenner and Randy Levine and whoever else go talk about, you know, the Yankees, they talk a lot about how, like, teams in their division, like the Tampa Bay Rays, don't spend any money and how there should be a salary floor, a minimum spend. I don't think that they were addressing the fans at all, but obviously there's media there, so that gets out to fans where fans are like, oh, well, how say he doesn't have over a $300 million payroll? He's gonna. And they're not saying that to say that they're not going to be in on Juan Soto. They have to be. They're not fools. They understand why the stadium has 40,000 plus while they're losing games. They understand why people are coming out to see Juan Soto, to get a Juan Soto figurine. I told my boy today, he's like, you want me to get the Juan Soto figurine for you tomorrow since you're going to Atlanta? I'm like, no, I'll wait till next year and get the Juan Soto bobblehead. Keith McPherson on the Fan, 888-808-1019. We're talking Yanks, Mets, Juan Soto contract. I'm going to pull up the Yankees payroll so I can do the activity that C-Mac did and just tell you like what Verdugo makes, right? He also leaned into the fact that Juan Soto makes $31 million this year. Is he going to make $20 million more? Maybe, but maybe not. He's a right fielder in Major League Baseball. Yes, he's young. Yes, he's a Hall of Famer or on a Hall of Fame trajectory, but like there's numbers and there's like parameters to this thing. Steve Cohen can't just come in and say, $800 million. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We'll be right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.